All right, everybody, welcome back. We're here to recap episode 5 of the Challenge All Stars 4, and I've got a guest with me today who is making his podcast debut. If you are on Instagram and you're aware of the account Wendy Challenge, that's his. And then, you know, I'm assuming if you've been on Twitter, you've probably stumbled across a tweet of his or two, maybe more than that, that have gone pretty viral, I would say. Honestly, he gets a good amount of traction on some of his tweets relating to throwback stuff with the challenge. Ryan, what's up?
Hey, Mike. Thanks for having me.
Well, listen, this is kind of a long time coming. You and I have actually been acquainted for about 4 years, I'd say now, right? I think when probably during like the COVID times is when like we first got acquainted. I remember in the early stages of my podcast, we were always like sharing clips and stuff on Twitter. So yeah, we've been kind of acquainted for about 4 years now. So wanted to make this happen because I think you and I kind of have like similar viewpoints on the show and sort of what we like and enjoy and go for. So yeah, I'm glad to have you here. But I guess from the top here, before we dive into this episode, could you kind of like talk to me about what was sort of like the indoctrination for you when it comes to the challenge? Like what was maybe like your first experience getting into it and what made you get into it?
My first full season that I watched live, if I remember correctly, was the first Inferno with the whole Julie Veronica thing. And I've pretty much just been watching ever since. I mean, my first real world season was Vegas 1 with Trishelle, Steven, and all them. Vividly remembering the hot tub threesome. And I would have to, you know, like watch it alone somewhere because I was probably too young to be watching it at the time. But yeah, I've just been keeping up with it ever since. It's just kind of a trashy, easy watch. And you know, you kind of get to know these people a little bit throughout the years, so it's just kind of comfortable TV to keep going back to, and I've just pretty much been watching for a number of years, and even though it's not my favorite show anymore, I'll probably still just end up watching until it gets canceled at this point, putting too many years.
Yeah, because it's kind of like almost embedded in you at this point. You know, you've been watching it since like almost the inception, so why not just continue? But you've basically seen it take on like, I guess you could say, every which form, because you saw it from the very like baby stages when it was like practically hardly a competition show, because I mean a lot of the games they were doing were like just pretty much backyard games, and it was essentially like a second real world just with like a little bit of competition. And then we saw it kind of gradually, like they started adding more of a competition element, to where now, I mean, you look at the show and it's almost like, is it fair to say it's like unrecognizable from what we've seen over and been accustomed to over the years, at least?
Yeah, I mean, it's basically turned into a sport, which was, you know, the worst thing that could ever happen to it. You know, whoever was the one that coined the whole America's fifth sport, it's not a sport, it's a reality television show. I mean, it started with them, you know, I rewatched the first season a couple weeks ago when it was just like, it was like Road Rules All-Stars. It was a cast of like 5 people. It was, I know Eric was on it, and Sean and Rachel, and like they were literally just driving around in an RV. Like the one challenge, they were selling hot dogs dressed up in a hot dog suit. And, you know, I would honestly rather watch interesting people sell a hot dog in a hot dog suit than watch fake athletes or, you know, someone who tried to go pro in football and didn't make it. So now this is like, oh, well, now I get to be an athlete here on a TV show that's a sport. And, you know, the show just takes itself way too seriously now. And it was much better when it was driven by personalities instead of driven by the athletic aspect of it.
Yeah, because, I mean, I myself, the last, you know, few days and last week in general, have just kind of been going back and revisiting seasons. And honestly, even as recently as, like, Vendettas and Final Reckoning, where we did see, like, definitely, you know, more emphasis on competition than, like, let's just say, like, some of the earlier seasons. On the seasons like that, though, even despite there being competition going on, I feel like the personalities sort of, honestly, in a way, elevated the competitions and made us care about the competitions rather than the competition making us care about the people, which is what they're trying to do now. I think that their hope is sort of like that everybody's going to gravitate towards like the sport athletics and think that because somebody's like good at those athletics that we're going to naturally care about them, but that it just isn't like necessarily translating that way, at least for like me. And I think like I could speak for, you know, a lot of Twitter, you know, there is definitely a pocket of fans somewhere, probably on Facebook or something, that like actually maybe gravitate towards the sport element of things. But like, for me, at least with seasons like Final Reckoning and Vendettas, there's a competition going on and there's people strategizing, but the people are just so entertaining that like, it actually makes us want to care about the competition. Whereas like, if you don't have entertaining, like, people that, you know, I actually enjoy watching, like, I don't really care to see them in a competition. It's like, all right, cool, I'll just go flip on whatever NBA game's on that night. Like, I don't, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, I mean, that's why the challenge had always worked so well over the years, because it would bring back people that you were invested in and you didn't care what they were doing, you just wanted to watch them on TV. I'm not interested in watching somebody from Survivor Romania or, you know, like America's Got Talent Guam that you don't even have access to watch the show that mm-hmm. they come from. And then when they get on the show, why should I care about them? I have no idea who they are. And not for nothing, it's hard to understand a lot of them. And I just don't understand why they're focusing so heavily on casting international people that have a hard time speaking English. Like, who was it, Colleen or whatever, on the latest yeah. reunion, when they asked about Michelle and she like raised her hand and Michelle's like, why'd you do that? She's like, oh, I didn't even know what that means. Like, why are we casting people that don't even understand an English language for a show that's being broadcast in America? It seems weird. And, you know, it's just casting's gone so far off the deep end that it's just, I don't think there's any saving it at this point.
Do you have any like theories of your own as to why you feel like they sort of veered that way? Because like, the thing is like, for me at least, they definitely took like, so we know Vendettas is when they started casting Big Brother people, but I didn't feel like those Big Brother people, like Paulie, Devon, honestly, even like for the short bit that we got them, like I feel like Natalie and even Jose, for that matter, translated way better than like some of the newer people now that they cast. And so I didn't notice like that drastic of a change when they started casting those Big Brother people specifically. Like, I felt like they translated right in. Maybe it's because we had more MTV people to kind of like outweigh them. I don't know if that might have had something to do with it, but they also did sort of, from like War of the Worlds on, they did cast those like newer international people, but some of those people like even fit in better. Why do you feel like or do you have any theories of your own as to like why they've basically like completely veered into like another just complete stratosphere when it comes to casting? I would say from Double Agents on, I would say it's fair to say that's when they really started just going like off the wall with the casting. Do you have like any theories of your own as to like why you feel like they just completely almost like threw the MTV casting pool out the window?
I mean, now it kind of just seems like they're lazy in whichever, you know, they can hire somebody for, you know, $10 versus paying somebody whatever the highest appearance fee is for somebody like, you know, Bananas and Issa or whatever, someone who's been there, you know, a really long time. But like, I think the Big Brother people translated well at the beginning, like Paulie, Devon, and Natalie, because that was, I'm not sure how familiar you are with Big Brother, and I didn't watch Big Brother until they started coming over to the challenge. So my first Big Brother season was 21, which was a terrible Big Brother season. But before that, like the seasons that Devon and Paulie and Natalie were on weren't so influencer heavy as far as the cast goes, and everything wasn't as PC as it is now. But once that shift started happening, where like CBS really started editing things out and trying to hide things and only casting people that wanted a following or whatever, it's like there's really not much more people to choose from. And, you know, the real world's done. Road Rules has been done. I've never watched Are You the One? I think that's done too. I mean, I think there may have been a season of it on Paramount Plus like last year, but nobody's talking about that. And I think it's just a mix of the fact that they no longer have like a majority of MTV Real World Road Rules people to choose from, just because a lot of people have lost interest or aged out of it or don't want to basically be put through hell with all the rules that they have to follow now. And it's just, I guess, easier and more cost effective for them to go grab somebody from, you know, North Africa that no one's heard of and just basically pay them pennies and shove them in front of us to watch.
Yeah, you do make a good point, like when it comes to like the paying aspect of things, because for those watching or listening that don't realize, when cast members like do more seasons, like their price goes up for like, in, you know, like appearance fees and whatnot. So, you know, with when it comes to like a season like 39, we saw a lot of like either rookies or people that have just like only been on like one season prior. And that likely means that, like, you know, they just put a bunch of people that they knew they didn't have to pay much to, and then that ensures that they could save up for, like, let's say a season 40 where they're going to be casting, like, an abundance of people that are considered legends. So that's kind of, you make a good point. That's definitely a strategy I feel like they've kind of taken. They've got, like, their crop of veterans that are, like, just like sort of old reliables in their eyes, like the Bananas, Nannies, Anises, Tories of the world. And then just like pluck in a bunch of like new rookies. Do you feel like there's any rectifying like the main show, or do you feel like the direction in which we are right now is like almost to the point where it's so far gone that like at best, you know, the main show could be like All Stars light in a sense?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's way past the point of rectifying at this point, because like the people that longtime fans want to see back basically know what the main show has turned into. You know, they film for a ridiculous amount of time. There's all of these rules that, like, you know, you can't use your phones, you can't basically like leave the house or whatever. Like, I mean, people have basically said it's like a prison when you're there because there's so many rules you have to follow, you can't do anything. And even if they tried to change that, like they shorten the filming schedule like they do with All Stars and they give them a little bit more freedom, I don't think that people really are incentivized to come back to the main show anymore. Mm-hmm. Just I think they've seen what it's become and they just don't want any part of it. And I can't blame them. I wouldn't want to go back to the main show. I mean, it sucks.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, luckily at least, you know, from what it seems like with this fourth All-Star season, we're at least able to squeeze in four, I guess, real world only, real world and Road Rules only seasons, you know, without getting too far ahead. Now that we're kind of past talking about that, I kind of want to talk a little bit quickly before we get into the episode itself. How are your like overall feelings so far about this fourth season? You know, we're about over halfway through now, with this being episode 7. I kind of feel like, and you know, we talked about this earlier, but I kind of feel like this season got off to a hot start, and I definitely am enjoying it, especially tenfold over a lot of what we get with other seasons, such as like on the flagship and then even those other spinoffs. But like, I feel like it's been like a good season, but like just good. Like, I don't know. It's on like a consistent flow right now, but I haven't really reached that like next level where I'm like kind of blown away like I was with All Stars 1. So where's your head at as far as that's concerned?
Yeah, no, I agree. And you know, we were texting earlier about it, and like, you know, season or episode 1 and 2 were probably some of my favorite episodes of the challenge that I've seen in a number of years. But you know, after a lot of the drama leaves, like after Ayana goes, Jasmine went, you know, a lot of the people that basically just cause chaos and delivering confessionals and make it fun, the season becomes less fun. And I mean, I'm still enjoying All-Stars 4, but there's not as much fun and drama in these last couple of episodes as there was in the first few episodes. And, you know, unfortunately, that always seems to be how it goes. You know, the people that are always just there for a good time or entertaining, they just basically get sent into elimination and get sent home.
Yeah, I've noticed, like, when it comes to the entertainment aspect, definitely the women have been the ones providing, which, shocker, I mean, that should go without saying. But the guys have all come across as, like, likable people. Like, if I'm, like, just chilling at a bar with any of these guys, I'll probably, like, they're probably guys that I would love to have a conversation with. But I feel like, honestly, a lot of the guys, for the most part, have, like, been relatively tame in the aspect of, like, putting on a television show. Like, I liked Kiefla. I thought he was pretty funny. But again, the guys are likable. I just feel like it's been mainly the girls that have been carrying the entertainment aspect of things.
Yeah, I mean, the show has basically been built on the backs of the female cast members for years. Like, mm-hmm. I mean, if you think back and you ask people, like, iconic challenge moments, like, you know, people will say Coral and Julie or Julie and Veronica, and or, you know, Katie smoking a cigarette versus Julie in the Inferno, or, you know, Ashley's meltdown on Final Reckoning. But it's like the girls are the ones that provide the entertainment and the drama. There's been some entertaining guys over the years, like Pauly isn't afraid to get into the drama side of things. You know, Hate or Love Bananas, he doesn't care if he gets involved in drama. But for the most part, the guys are kind of just there for the competition, and I want to win. And the girls, it really falls on them to actually make the good TV show. And it sucks that, you know, a lot of people realize that the female cast members seem to be a lot more expendable than the male cast members. But, you know, unfortunately, we don't have any control over that.
Yeah, I think, like, right now, the way the season's sort of trending, we're seeing, like, now that we're past the halfway point and, like, some of the more entertaining cast members have gone, I think we're seeing it sort of trend into, like, a more light-hearted, like, more likable, interesting people version of kind of, like, what the flagship is now, where, like, for the remainder, if that makes, do you get what I'm saying? Like, how it's kind of centered around, like, the game, so to speak, but except for, like, the people that we've got on the flagship, it's just a more entertaining, like, likable version of that.
And that's all due to, like, the cast, like, we would rather watch people that we know just play the game, if that's what they're going to do, is just play the game and not provide as much entertainment, versus watching people from Survivor Romania or America's Got Talent or people that nobody knows play the game. Like, of course, you'd rather watch Cara Maria play the game versus, who was it, Joseph or whatever from America's Got Talent, or like the random wrestler that they brought in, or, like, sure, people know Lolo Jones and she's crazy, but, like, why would we want to watch her on the challenge? Like, it just doesn't make any sense.
For you personally, what was, like, your last, not counting All-Stars, what was, like, your last time that you really feel like you definitively enjoyed the challenge?
I mean, my favorite season of all time is Final Reckoning, and there have been a few good seasons after that. I would say the last time I probably really enjoyed a season from start to finish was War of the Worlds 2. I mean, that season was just, like, really chaotic, and I know a lot of people will always point to, like, that Benedict Laurel episode where she's yelling at everybody in the deliberation. So that's probably the last time that, like, I was really tuned into a season. I mean, I follow spoilers because I like knowing what happens. I've, even before I've watched the challenge, like, I always just like knowing spoilers for things just so I know what I'm getting into. But, like, it just seems like after War of the Worlds 2, especially since I know what happens, I just, like, it kind of just stopped caring. It was like, you know, it'll be on as background noise while I'm doing something else. Like, I would always make sure I used to be watching the episode live at what, 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock, whenever it was that it aired. Now it's like, oh, you know, if I don't turn it on till it's halfway over and start from the beginning, it is what it is. I already know what happens.
Yeah. Dude, I mean, I think Total Madness had potential to be good. Like, if you saw, if anybody who followed the, I remember, like, Departure heading into it, everybody was so excited when they saw, like, the, you know, the cast. I mean, like, you had, like, you know, that was the first season where, like, Fessy and Casey got introduced. But, like, I'd say, like, for the most part, people were excited because we had, like, some people returning that had, like, a couple seasons off, like Nelson and Corey. And then, like, obviously you have, like, your well-known names. And that was, like, Anissa before she, like, went on that stretch where she's, like, always on. That was her first time, like, on the show since Dirty 30. So people were actually excited to see her. I remember everybody being really excited for it. But then, you know, obviously as we saw the thing play out, they kind of stuck him in a bunker, sucked all, like, the fun element out of it, relied on, like, explosions and stuff. And then in real time now, I mean, they kind of honestly try to do their best to, like, low-key push that season away because of, like, real-life events committed by, like, some of the more, like, problematic people on that season. So,
yeah, and I think part of the reason why people were so excited for Total Madness when it was happening was because that was, like, in the middle of the pandemic. No, like, shows weren't filming, and it was like, just give us anything at this point. So when we found out that the challenge was going to be airing a season in the middle of a pandemic, it was like, finally, there's something new to watch. I don't care what it is. But then it just, and like, I know it was shot before, but like the whole making them live in a bunker, like as people like literally weren't able to leave their homes. And it was like, we watched the show for people to have fun in like warm tropical locations and whatnot. But instead it was like, well, now nobody's really allowed to leave their house because of COVID, and we're watching people stay locked inside of a bunker in like a dark, cold place in the Czech Republic or whatever.
I still find that crazy that's actually how that played out, because they like filmed, we got hit with COVID and shut down in March of 2020, and they filmed that in October, like through December of 2019. So like they were like done like well in advance before the shutdown even hit. So that's like honestly like kind of nuts that
And it aired April 1st, and I enjoyed it at the time because it was like literally the only thing that was putting out new episodes at that point, because it had filmed prior to the shutdown. But I had done a Total Madness rewatch, I guess a number of years ago when it was still available on Paramount Plus, and it just like isn't that fun. Like it's just dark, it looks cold. Like, I mean, you know, that
could have been really good if
the Ashley and Maddie fight, you know, that I think that was funny. And you know, not a Noodle Nani, but you know, like other than that, it's just a, you know, another season just to chalk up.
If you had it in like a normal like house and didn't have the skull twist, I actually think it would have been like probably a good season.
Yeah, I think they was that the. I guess that was one of the first seasons where they did the whole like you have to earn your way to the final.
Yeah,
and I think they got so caught up in that like that used to be like you used to be praised if you could make it to the end and not have to see an elimination. Because of your political or social game, whatever you want to call it. And then when like the whole this is a sport thing came about, it was like, well, no, now you're basically punished for not being good at anything athletic, and now you have to earn your way to the final by beating someone in an athletic competition. And, you know, I think it's more fun watching somebody play a political or social game than just watching somebody like Joss, who's like, you know, ripped, of course he's going to beat most people in a physical elimination, other than I guess Derek, but like that's not that exciting to watch like a good athlete or somebody that's in good shape just like wrestle somebody.
Yeah, And, like, they took that format with the skull thing of, like, having to go in. And I think that was honestly because the season before on World of Worlds 2, like, everybody, there was, like, I think 12 or 13 people made the final, and only two of them went into elimination. So yeah. I'm sure that's, like, why they did that. And, like, that format was, like, flawed on Total Madness. And then they took that same format and, like, doubled down on it even worse for Double Agents, where, like, there was daily challenges where, like, legitimately people, like, didn't have a partner, so they had to sit out the elimination. It was just Double Agents became a complete mess. I'll be honest, like, I've probably spoken about this before on here, maybe not enough, but I actually stopped watching after, like, live in real time stopped watching, like, right after Teresa got eliminated on Double Agents, and then honestly, like, I don't even know if I've, like, tuned into, like, a single episode in real time as it's airing live since then.
I mean, I couldn't even tell you what happened on Double Agents. I mean, I watched it, and I know Teresa was there.
Mm-hmm.
Was that Double Agents? Was that Casey and CT, or was that...
That was Amber and CT.
Amber and CT, and then Casey and CT with Spies, Lies, and Allies. Yeah, it's like... It all just gets, like, grouped together at this point because they were just casting the same old people, the Vacation Alliance, putting them in some, like, cold-ass country. It was all gray. There were explosions and bombs and stupid spy themes. And it was probably, like, one of the worst stretches of seasons in recent challenge history.
Oh, yeah. No doubt. But yeah, no, we could kind of transition now into this episode. We kind of open up from the start, which I thought was interesting, where we saw Adam and Ryan having a conversation. And I got to say, I think, you know, anybody who's watched this show or is familiar with the show since, like, about Fresh Meat knows that's where Ryan, like, first made his debut. I feel like I came away from this episode learning more about Ryan in, like, the five, like, seconds that he talked about his sobriety than I had, like, any of his, like, previous seasons over the years. Does that, like, make sense?
Yeah, no, I mean, I think a lot of the time with Ryan, like, I just finished watching, they're doing a rewatch of The Island, and I'm in the middle of a Duel 2 rewatch right now, and his story on The Island was just, like, he's a floater, he's in the middle, we need him as a vote. And that kind of was, like, what they edited him as, was just like, he's there, this side's going to try and get his vote, the other side's going to try and get his vote. But I enjoyed, like, him talking about his sobriety, and I think it just goes to show, like, how much better All Stars is, because, like, a sobriety story wouldn't work on the main challenge, because, like, imagine they give Berna a sobriety story, like, who's going to care about that? Nobody knows who Berna is. Why would we care that she decided to get sober? But as someone that's been, like, if you've been watching the challenge since Ryan debuted on Fresh Meat back in whatever year that was, like, you're going to care a lot more when it's somebody that you've grown up watching on TV talking about a personal story. And that's why, one of the reasons why All Stars is a lot better than the main show.
Yeah, no, because, like, Ryan didn't even, like, come, like, from an official Real World season. Obviously, I'm sure he probably auditioned, and that's how he got plucked on to Fresh Meat. But we didn't get, like, this, like, Real World Ryan storyline. So, like, and like you said, a lot of his story for pretty much all his other seasons was just being kind of, like, a sort of, like, a number for, like, the main, like, one of the main alliances. So, like, he himself never took, like, center stage. So I enjoyed actually hearing and seeing more about him. For those that don't know, he actually, him and Shane Landrum were exes with each other before going on to Fresh Meat, but I don't remember. I don't think they acknowledged. They didn't acknowledge that, right? Like, on the show,
they never did on the show. I think I may have seen, like, people say, like, it was referenced in, like, after shows or, like, something like that. But on the main show, it was never alluded to, which is weird because you would think that that would make for somewhat of an interesting storyline. But, you know, maybe if they if they ever decide to bring Shane back after he completely bashed production on Instagram a number of years ago, then he'll be open to telling that story.
I finished my Final Reckoning rewatch like a day or two ago, and I came away from it like really wishing that like Shane made that final, because I think like honestly like him and I don't think I think that honestly if him and Nelson made that final they would have won, but I don't think either of them would have stole the money, but I don't know.
Yeah, it's hard to tell, because if they make the final, then like what other team doesn't? And if either of them stole the money, I think it would be Shane stealing it instead of Nelson. So maybe that would have happened, because a lot of people say, you know, the only reason that they, or some people say they let Ashley win because, you know, they knew she was going to steal the money, and that's why Joss and Sylvia didn't win, because they would have split the money, and that doesn't make for good TV. But I've always been a fan of Shane. When he came back on Invasion, like, that was probably one of the people I was most excited to see back, because prior to that, I mean, was Fresh Meat the last he was on before Invasion?
Mm-hmm.
So I was excited to see him back. I think he would have fit in well on Dirty 30. Was he there on Dirty 30?
No, we had the other Shane.
Right, yeah. But then he was there on Vendettas and Final Reckoning, or just Final Reckoning? I can't remember off the top of my head.
Both, yeah, Vendettas and Final Reckoning.
Yeah, I mean, when he came back, I mean, he was involved in everything for those seasons that he was there.
Yeah, so you would have been technically, were you on, like, Challenge Twitter then, during, like, the time of Invasion Departure, like, when the spoilers were coming out?
I don't remember. Like, I've been on Twitter since Twitter came out, mm-hmm. but I didn't really get involved in, like, Challenge Twitter until, I don't think I was around for Invasion. It was probably, I think Dirty 30 or Vendettas might have been the first season, but, like, even then I wasn't really, like, involved. I was kind of just watching everything.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I really started posting a lot more during COVID, because what the hell else are you going to do?
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, I wish I would have been around back in the earlier days, because, like, you see people like Gamer and Jay talk about, like, you know, people were going crazy about whoever it was. But yeah, I wasn't there for the early days, but I hear it was pretty crazy.
Dude, Shane's announcement, that would have probably felt like in real time so, like, random to see. Because, like, just think about that. Like, if you looked at, like, all the other people that were, like, on the, you know, Challengers team or whatever I think they were called. It was, like, all these, like, young people who were, like, just introduced on the show. And then just, like, Shane, who, like, hasn't been on since, like,
2000. I mean, there could have been people, like, if Invasion was their first season, they would have looked at Shane and been like, who is that? Like, I don't remember him from any show.
Yeah.
Because he was, what, Campus Crawl of Road Rules, which... Mm-hmm. I don't even remember what year that was, but, you know, obviously it was well before Invasion.
Yeah. Well, I think, honestly, it's worth mentioning. I thought that, I mean, at least in my opinion, I'm normally, for the most part, a trivia fan. However, I thought the questions that they were asking in this particular one were just, like, random and, like, just kind of strange. I was just like, normally they ask him, like, history stuff, or, like, even challenge past history of the show. But, like, they were asking them stuff like, oh, how many stairs were there on the first night when you walked here? What color is the couch? I don't know.
It was, at least the opening questions were very heavy on just, like, what happened that season.
Yeah.
And then it pretty much just turned into, like, a spelling bee after that. And, like, a spelling bee is fine, but if you're going to, like, I feel like the words need to be of, like, equal toughness for everybody, because, like, I mean, I know Brad ended up not being able to spell the word authority, but, like, how are you going to give him the word authority, but then ask, like, Laurel and Ryan to spell the city in Iceland? Like, and, like, I get it, you know, winning a challenge is luck-based sometimes, but, like, why would you not just pick more words that are of similar difficulty than just, like, telling someone, here, spell this easy word, and now you got to go spell this word, you know, that's really not even English.
Yeah, it's like asking somebody to spell Armageddon and then asking somebody else to spell, like, ham. It's like,
yeah. I mean, I knew for one thing that, you know, Jay and Nicole obviously were not going to win. it was enough of a stretch that Jay had won the trivia challenge on X's 2 with Jenna. And I know people, you know, like, give Jenna a lot of shit for being dumb or ditzy, dumb blonde, whatever. But, like, she's smarter than Nicole. And I was like, you know, he barely won with Jenna. There's no way he's winning with Nicole. I mean, she can barely speak English.
Well, speaking of Nicole, I mean, if they ever do, like, a fans and challengers rivals theme, you might be set with your partner, so.
Yeah, I still laugh at that. Like, it'll pop up every once in a while on, like, memory things or whatnot. Like, I just remember waking up, I like woken up at like 2 a.m. to go to the bathroom, and I always check my phone when I get up in the middle of the night just out of habit. And I had a DM from Marie, and she was like, did you see this? And I like look at it, and like I don't really know what's going on because like I just woke up, it's like 2 a.m. and it's Nicole going off at Wendy Williams about how, like, how dare you talk about me? You don't know me, but, like, thanks for using a good picture. And I was like, how do you not know that's fake? Like, her hand goes behind the picture. Like, I don't, like, when I put these, like, clips together, you know, I don't really take that much time to, like, try and make it, like, the point isn't to fool anyone and make it seem like it's real. Like, it really just stemmed out of I was bored during COVID and this was something to do. And then, like, to hear, like, Nicole thought it was real. I mean, she was the main one. I've had people tell me Nelson thought it was real.
Berna did, too. She did.
Berna was a recent one, like, a couple months ago, posted something on her Instagram story and then took it down right away. But, I mean, most of the cast members that have, like, interacted with the page understand that it's not real. Mm-hmm. And luckily, most of them just understand it's a joke. Like, you know, I've given Anissa a lot of crap on that, about, like, just clips of, like, oh, she's old, she needs to retire, she's never going to win. But, like, I've met Anissa a few times at Challenge Mania events, and, like, she's DM'd the page a few times, and, like, she understands that it's a joke. Like, you know, I'm not out here trying to, like, cancel anybody or ruin someone's career. Like, it's just, like, it's just a funny thing I did.
It's like a roast, basically.
Yeah, and, like, you know, if you can't make fun of yourself or your friends, like, are you really that close with somebody? Like, that's how I show I care about people, is by making fun of them. So if you ever got featured on the page, it's because, I guess, in some weird way, I care about you as a TV character, except for Tori and Devin. They're not my favorite.
Well, you've actually seen the double side of the coin then, because everybody knows that the storyline between Laurel and Nicole's been, like, a big thing this season. And Laurel's actually somebody who's actually taken a liking to the page, on the contrary to Nicole. Like, I've seen her kind of interact and find it funny herself.
Yeah,
where were you on the fence as far as this storyline goes? From what I saw, it didn't really feel like this episode in particular saw much of it, but, like, in the past few episodes, I know a lot of people were getting kind of, you know, worn down by it. Where were you on it?
Yeah, I mean, I've always been a fan of Laurel since freshman two. Like, I've just always found her, like, she's a good competitor, and she, like, just doesn't put up with people's shit. So, like, I've always enjoyed that about her. You know, when she was on Rivals, the whole her and Kara going from, like, enemies to sisters or friends, like, you know, that was good to see. When it comes to the whole Laurel and Nicole thing, though, like, I don't want to see it. And, like, I was listening to Jemmy's podcast, like, either it was, like, last week or the week before, and she was saying something along the lines of, like, I guess, like, when we saw spoilers for this season or, like, trailers about, like, you know, including Nicole and Laurel, like, everyone kind of thought it would be Nicole that was being the aggressor and, like, initiating things, because that, like, that just makes sense. That's who Nicole is. But when I saw that it was, like, Laurel, at least in the whatever episode it was, 3 or 4 or 5, being the one to, like, initiate the wrestling, and Nicole was basically like, look, no, we shouldn't do this. I was very surprised. You know, I know a lot of things have happened since this has been filmed. You know, Laurel went in on Nicole about what was it like being drunk on the job, and then Jack was saying, or I guess Nicole tried to get with Jack's sister, a friend or somebody at a wedding. And you know, I hate to love Nicole as a television character, I guess. Like, you know, I don't know her in real life, obviously. I don't know any of these people in real life, so I can't comment on how they are outside of the show. But, like, on the show, I find Nicole incredibly annoying. You know, the accent is just too much. Laurel. I know people don't always agree with what Laurel did. I know there's stuff out there right now about, you know, a lot of stuff that she said. I guess the preview for next week shows her yelling at Kara. I don't have to agree with everything she does to be a fan of somebody, but I'm a fan of Laurel.
Mm-hmm. Well, for me personally, when I started watching the challenge, I guess in real time would have been around like Duel 2 Ruins time up until like X's 2. But I took a little break watching in real time from like, I want to say Bloodlines through Invasion and came back for Dirty 30. So I missed watching Laurel and Nicole like in real time. And obviously, you know, they did an X on the Beach show together too, but I didn't watch that either. So this is like my first like introduction into like their sort of thing. And I said this last week, like, I'm not really about it. I said like Nicole's probably somebody who she's probably a guy's guy. Like if you're like, you know, you're with like your guy, she's like, I know she gets on with like, you know, the boys, so to speak. And like, she's a good wing person. I'm sure I would have a blast hanging out with her in real life at a bar, but like, yeah, to your point, watching her, can get a little, mentally taxing for sure.
Yeah. I didn't know that you didn't really see them on Invasion. Cause like anytime I see Nicole, the one thought that always like runs through my head is like where she's like, you know, Laurel, you look good. Kara, you look better. And like, that's just always what I think of when it comes to Laurel and Nicole. And I guess if you want to throw Kara in there, that it's like, Nicole always wanted Kara first.
Mm-hmm.
And that, you know, I can't speak obviously on Nicole and Laurel's relationship. I have no inside information on it. But like, if that was me and I knew someone was like coming for me and my best friend and they were like, you look good, but I like your best friend a lot better, I wouldn't want to jump into a relationship with them. But, you know, I, obviously on TV and like the environment they're in makes it a little bit different, but I think Laurel can do a lot better than Nicole.
Well, I mean, listen, if we're talking about, you know, people kind of, you know, there's that meme of how it started or how it's going.
Yeah.
I honestly, before we got on here, I wanted to find it. It was from Dirty 30 with Leroy and Veronica, where she orchestrated, you know what I'm talking about? Where she flipped the vote and got Leroy sent in.
That
now,
like
go from that to now like they win the daily challenge together is kind of funny.
I mean, I love watching Veronica. Like, you know, one of my favorite reality TV moments ever is the whole her and Ayana with the paper stealing, and like, you know, she's like, "You stole my paper." No, I didn't. She's like laughing into the camera, and then Ayana takes the paper and runs down the hallway. And then she's like, you know, word for word, those are my same mannerisms. You copied my paper. And, I mean, I've just always loved watching Veronica. And then, you know, on Battle of the Sexes 1, she almost was able to flip a vote to get a lifesaver until Jamie basically came out and said, like, I was going to give it to Blair, but I'm going to give it to Veronica instead. And then I guess production stepped in and was like, no, you can't do that. Like you said, you were going to give it to Blair, so then you have to, which looking back is very strange because if you look at the, not the episode that just aired, but the one before it where Jasmine or Nicole's like, Jasmine, you know, I'm taking your spot. And then her and Veronica talk and it's like, okay, Jasmine, come back down. It's like back in the day, production wouldn't let it happen, but that, you know, today I guess they're more than happy to let Veronica do whatever she wants, and that's fine with me. Whatever Veronica wants to do is fine by me. She makes good TV. She's been involved in a lot of the iconic moments on the show. So, you know, if anyone deserves special treatment, it's Veronica.
No doubt. I'm surprised they didn't acknowledge or like show a flashback to that Ayana and Veronica.
Yeah, they definitely
didn't even acknowledge like their like past at all. And I was like, yeah, this is kind of like a big deal for a lot of hardcore fans seeing them on screen for the first time in like ages.
Yeah, I mean, I was really excited when I found out back whenever like the spoilers were released for the cast and I saw Veronica and Ayana. I was like, oh boy. Like, you could pretty much see, like, they're going to show a confessional of Veronica, and then it's going to be cut in with the confessional of Ayana, and then it's going to show, you know, the whole paper-stealing incident, and it was like it didn't even happen. But, I mean, maybe it was left on the cutting room floor somewhere, but I can't imagine if they had that material that they wouldn't use it, but who knows. Yeah.
Well, we then get to the house, and we're trying to figure out who's going into elimination. And then Ace gives probably one of the funnier, just like random. Ace is probably up to this point said about three words the entire season, but then he comes in with this like elaborate speech and pretty much like sells Brad up the river basically without trying to sell him up the river by honestly making him and the house's decision for him. Yeah. What'd you think of that?
I enjoy watching Ace. I mean, I think he's just there for a good time. Like, that's always kind of been his thing. Like, it was on his first challenge, he was the first one out. On his second challenge, he was the second one out. You know, he finally made a final on, what was it, Inferno 3, I guess. Good guys didn't win. But it's like, Ace is just there to have a good time. And, like, you can respect that. Like, especially back then when it basically was just like an adult summer camp, like why wouldn't you go to have a good time? But yeah, I have no idea what he was talking about here, and whatever it was, it pissed Brad off. I guess Avery didn't like it that much. But you know, anytime I see Ace, I always think back to the Gauntlet 2, where there was that one challenge where they had to have somebody driving a stick shift in the truck, and Ace is like, oh, I've driven stick, you know, for years, and they lost because he wasn't doing it correctly. I think, like, he didn't hold the clutch down or whatever it was, and they, like, interview him afterwards, and he's just sitting there laughing. He's like, yeah, I guess I'm going in the Gauntlet because, you know, I fucked up today.
Like, yeah, I mean,
it's like refreshing to see.
Yeah, no, I really enjoyed the speech actually from an entertainment standpoint. I was so waiting when I saw Brad starting to boil over. I was like, my vision was still like in the back of my mind from Final Reckoning the other day. So like I was like trying to compartmentalize that Final Reckoning was like 6 years ago. So I was just waiting for Brad to kind of have like a little bit of a moment, because Brad on Final Reckoning Vendettas honestly is like, that might be my favorite like male stretch of a cast member season. The guy was just like all.
Yeah, I mean, he was messy. He just got out of a divorce to Tori, you know, who was like Miss Virginia, Teen USA, whatever she was, and then he immediately gets in a relationship with Brittany, who is like, I think there's a scene in like one of the opening episodes of Vendettas where I think it's Veronica and Zach are talking, and Veronica is like, you know, Brittany is the complete opposite of Tori. Like, Brittany's free spirit, like naked all the time, doesn't care about anything. Tori was like, at least how she was portrayed on the show, was like Miss Perfect. She's always got to be nice to everybody. And I think, like, yeah, I mean, even Zach said, like, Brittany was definitely more his speed. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that carried into Final Reckoning. And, you know, now it's, you know, maybe if he shaved his beard, he would have a little bit better luck. But I just, God, anytime I see that beard, it's just like you're waiting for, like, a bird or, like, a raccoon or a squirrel to just jump out of it. It just looks so dirty.
Yeah. I mean, it's kind of just a hair band. Yeah, I actually, believe it or not, this was a really disappointing season as a Brad fan, because when the cast first came out, and I think you see all the guys, right? You see a bunch of people who, you know, maybe their first time around just like weren't so great at the game, or they just hadn't been on in such a long time. I think it's fair to say, considering prior to this, the last time we saw Brad was on All-Stars 3, and he dominated that season. He was winning most of the dailies. He came in second in the final just behind Wes. So the last time we had saw him, he was doing great. And then heading into this season, he kind of, in my opinion, looked like the odds-on sort of favorite. I mean, you can make the argument for maybe Tony as well, but I thought coming into this, you know, Brad, at least for the guy side, had to have at least been like the favorite, you know, and like to see kind of the way he performed this season was a little bit shocking. I mean, he won the first daily, but after that, I mean, he said it himself this episode. He just like really struggled and then obviously lost this elimination too.
I don't like, it's funny when Brad said, you know, like, oh, coming off All-Stars 3, I was doing great. I totally forgot. I mean, I don't even remember really much from All-Stars 3 because it was so long ago.
2 years ago. I had
no idea that Brad did so well. I knew he was there, but like, I didn't remember that he was like, you know, winning all these daily missions. But yeah, like you said, like when the cast was released or, you know, when Gamer was putting the cast spoiler list out there, like, and I just saw a tweet the other day where it's like, you know, people were like, oh, when they saw the cast list, they're like, this is set up for Brad or like Leroy to win. But then the season starts and it's like, sure, Brad got, you know, the first daily win, but then he does terrible. Mm-hmm. And Leroy has his star now, but not because he won a challenge, it's because he won the elimination. So
Brad was like, I mean, somebody could correct me if I'm wrong and maybe the comments or maybe my DM, whatever. If my memory serves me correct, Brad is the only champion from the guy's side coming into this season because Tony and Leroy haven't even won before.
Brad, I think Adam is the
Adam might have won the gauntlet, maybe. But that was like a team thing, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, at least as far as like recent challenge history goes, he's like out of the Leroys and Tonys and Jays, like he is the champion, but I think Adam may have, yeah, like one of those 15 people win during the Inferno championship.
Yeah, cutthroat. Ah, what a comfort watch. Mm. Getting nostalgia thinking about it. but like not to break down really the elimination itself, but for whatever reason, I got like major vibes to like, do you remember that elimination that Bananas and Devin did on Vendettas where they had to like turn like the light switches on and off?
Yeah.
Obviously no lights involved, but for whatever reason, I got like sort of like the same vibes from that with this elimination.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, I really haven't been thrilled with like any of the eliminations they've done before.
Yeah.
And especially the Laurel and Rachel and Carl one, which I know a lot of people have talked about. Like if there's ever one elimination where you're just going to scrap whatever you had planned and put a pole in the circle, like that's the time you do it. But it just like, I feel like, especially on All-Stars, like just use eliminations in the past that like, you know, have worked and make for good TV. Like it wasn't that interesting watching Brad and Adam step on a oversized like PlayStation controller. And I mean, it certainly wasn't fun watching Kara and Rachel throw, you know, ninja stars at a big board. And I know, like, Jemmy talked about this on her podcast. I can't remember if she had a guest with her or not. But they were saying that, like, there should always be, like, an audible that production can call because I guess there's, like, a schedule that they stick to where it's like, you know, it doesn't matter who's going in. This is the elimination schedule we have set. But, like, you know, they have to be able to do something, especially when you get two people like Kara and Rachel, to be like, all right, we're not doing the throwing stars. We can save that for Jasmine and Flora. We're going to make these two girls wrestle because that's what people want to see.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I feel like, so I know, like, it kind of feels like a lot of, obviously, Hall Brawl and, like, Pole Wrestler, the popular eliminations, sometimes balls in even. I feel like We've been like exposed to those eliminations a lot in recent years.
Dumbed down versions of them.
Yeah. To say it lightly. I feel like each elimination though, not necessarily has to be physical, but I feel like to some extent you could do things to make them physical without making them like completely lopsided. So for instance, if you run into a situation where like Laurel is facing like Jasmine again in an elimination. Rather than making that like a traditional headbanger, you could add some level of like physicality in it, but like a little more like intricate. Like, I don't know if you remember this, but there's this elimination I really enjoyed from X's 2 between Nia and Avery, where they had hooks, they had hooks on their back, and you had a hook of your own, and you had to try and hook it onto your opponent's back. Because that's a level of
hours.
Yeah, that's like a level of physicality, but like not like a headbanger, so to speak. Whereas
I think that's where the challenge is. Like they think anything physical has to be a headbanger. Yeah. Like, there's a lot of physical activities you can do without the two people having to touch each other.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, you know, there were like what in Rivals, when like it was Teresa and Jasmine on the treadmill versus Camilla and Jemmy. Like, that was physical. They're running on a treadmill. They're throwing balls back and forth, but they're not wrestling each other.
Yeah.
It just seems that, like, you know, they either only do a puzzle or they only do something with physical contact. And it's like, you could get a little bit more creative or just then go back to things that you know work from the past.
Yeah, because in an elimination like that, I mean, you've got somebody like Jasmine. There's a clear size advantage, but that actually could like balance the power a little bit in somebody like Jasmine's favor, where she's a little more low to the ground, and she can kind of like sneak around Laurel, whereas like Laurel's like height and size advantage won't even play a factor in something like that. So that's just something to consider for the future. Especially, I mean, we saw like Jasmine against Nicole earlier this season. I mean, Nicole would have actually had to like brainstorm, so that would have done her in right there.
Jasmine has like the worst luck in getting picked for elimination. She's gone up against Laurel
twice.
Yeah, well, because it was Laurel and then Laurel and Carr together, right? Her and John.
Yeah, and that was a headbanger as well.
Yeah, and then she goes against Nicole, and it's like, and they've all been physical.
Sam on Hall Brawl.
Yeah. That was the first season with Hall Brawl, because that's when Big Easy completely wrecked Wes. and when CJ beat Zach, like, I think it was, like, if you tallied up how many times CJ beat Zach, it was more than Zach beat him, but then San Diego, like, still won.
There was an overtime round. So
Whatever. But, yeah, it's like Jasmine always gets the short end of the stick. Like, she's always going up against, like, these big, muscular girls. It's like, give her a break. Like, the one elimination they won was, like, that digging out of the hay puzzle versus Sarah and Caitlin. Yeah, but, which, one of my all-time favorites, because Sarah's like, I can beat you at things. Johnny's like, what things? Oh, just things. Yeah, and then when, you know, they're doing the puzzle, and Sarah's like, you know, if we win, I'm sorry, when we win. And then they come back, and Caitlin's like, you know, something's intrinsically wrong about this, but Sarah didn't listen to her. One of my favorites.
So I know you're not, like, you obviously more so watch for, like, the entertainment aspect of things, but do you have, like, any eliminations that tickle your fancy, so to speak, you know, when you look, or elimination or two, whatever, like, where you look at and you're like, oh, that's probably, like, my favorite one?
When it comes to like a specific matchup, one of my favorites that I've always said was Susie and Kim from The Ruins when they played, I think it was called like Ragdoll or whatever.
Yeah.
And Susie, I was at Challenge Mania Philly last month or whatever, and someone like asked Susie about it. And like that, because you look at Susie and even if you look at Kim, like neither of them are like these big, like muscular women that you're like, wow, they're going to be able to like throw each other around. You're just like, they're just like normal size, like it'll be whatever, but like it got pretty brutal. I love Katie on the treadmill with Julie, because she was smoking. I mean, it's usually a lot of the old ones. I forget who Kendall was up against in the
Inferno.
Was it Leah? When, like, everyone was just, like, going crazy. Like, I think David...
Yeah, when they were carrying the bricks, right?
Yeah, they were carrying the bricks, and, like, Miz was being a dick to Kendall, because I forget why. Like, David was, like, streaking. Veronica and Coral are, like, off in the corner talking shit. Like, it's just, you know, those are... always going to be my favorite. I mean, you know, everyone always says Joss and Derek, you know, while it made for good TV at the time. And like, I mean, it's obviously impressive that Derek won. Mm. It's not one of my favorites, yeah, but it's definitely a good one. You know, the Sarah, Caitlin, Jasmine, John A, love that one. I don't know. I'm trying to think if there's any others that are like really up there.
I actually like the, so one of my favorite eliminations is a CT and Johnny elimination, but it's not the one that everybody thinks of, which is
The bananas backpack to me is so overrated. Like, I'm sorry. I know a lot of people like it, and it's always on like the list of the greatest challenge moments or challenge eliminations, but it's just like, to me, it's just not like, sure, it was like amazing to watch
at the time. I watched it live,
especially because like that was, yeah, like I was in my college dorm room running. Well, I had run across campus to like go get something from the subway and ran back to make sure I was able to catch it in time. And that was the first time mercenaries were brought in with CT and Tina.
And that was the first time he was seen since the Adam fight.
Yeah. And yeah, like, I mean, watching it live at the time was like, oh my God.
Yeah.
But like, I feel like the hype that it gets now is like a little much. Like, okay, we get it. The bananas backpack. Great. Let's move on. But yeah, go ahead.
I like the elimination on the following season with right before the final of Rivals with him and Adam against Johnny and Tyler, actually better than that.
Oh, yeah. The one
where they're running down the,
yeah, where Adam allegedly threw it or whatever.
Yeah, I mean, that's subjective. I don't know. He claims he didn't, but I mean, that's kind of, that one's probably going to get taken to the grave. We'll never know for sure.
Yeah, I'd be okay with never seeing Adam again, honestly. I was never a fan. And just his whole, I don't even want to call it a relationship with Jen on Rivals 1, because Jen just didn't really seem like she wanted anything to do with him. I mean, I guess sometimes in the editing, it made like they were in bed together or whatever. But God, was he creepy towards Jen? Like, just weird.
Yeah.
I wish she would come back. I miss Jen.
I could have sworn I heard a rumor. I don't know if Gamer or somebody said it, that she was close to.
Yeah. I mean, I know, I guess she was supposed to be on one of the All-Stars, but that was when they needed vaccines and she didn't want to get COVID. And people were like, I don't want her back because she supports Donald Trump or whatever. And it's like, look, you don't have to agree with people's political beliefs to want to see them on a messy reality TV show. I'm not saying I want to go out and be best friends with Jen in real life. All I'm saying is when she's on TV, she provides entertainment, and that's what I watch TV for.
Yeah, if like, you know, if they were casting for The Real World back in the day based on like whether you agreed with somebody's political views or not, then a lot of people wouldn't have been casted. So it's,
yeah,
like,
I mean, they literally would go out of their way to cast The Real World to find people with different beliefs.
Yeah.
They'd be like, oh, you like, you know, you're a Republican, you're a Democrat, you guys are going to hate each other. Let's put you in a house together. Mm-hmm. And now it's like everyone's like, oh, this person shouldn't come back because they voted for this person and they didn't get the vaccine. And like, I get the whole vaccine part of it during COVID, like, you know.
It's not been like during like probably like All-Stars 2 time, I would assume.
Yeah, but like when it comes to like, I don't want to see this person on TV because they have different political beliefs or whatever, like some really shitty people make really good TV. And that's just what it comes down to. Nobody wants to watch a stick in the mud.
Yeah.
Like, it's just, you know, you don't have to be friends with these people. You don't even have to like what they say. But, like, you can't deny that they make good TV.
Right. Well, this will be, like, my, I guess, last question for a future All-Star season, God willing. I feel like we've now reached the point where All-Stars is more than just a guinea pig experiment. And now we're out of those baby steps to where we could actually, like, expand upon, like, the like format and themes itself, because you'd probably agree with me to say the first four seasons of All-Stars, there hasn't really been like a theme per se, you know what I mean? Like, it's just a bunch of people and it's sort of like a free-for-all. It's been like kind of the same format with just a little different like tweaks here and there for the first four seasons. Mm-hmm. But it's mostly been just like an individual game for the most part. I would like them for the next one or however many more there will be to expand the themes with like formats from like the past, such as like a Rivals or a Battle of the Seasons or an X's, if it's possible. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, if it was up to you, like, what would you make the theme of the next one?
I mean, Rivals is probably the easiest one I would think to cast. My only, like, hesitation with that is, without giving away spoilers for whatever's going to happen on All Stars 5, the alleged cast apparently sucks. So it's like, you know, if you do Rivals, how authentic are these rivalries really going to be? Like, we're really probably not going to get actual Rivals. It's going to be like, oh, one time in a confessional, Nicole said she didn't like Ace's outfit. They're Rivals now. You know, where it used to be Jasmine and Jhené hated each other because, you know, the guy chose the other one. Or, you know, I mean, the whole Bananas and Frank thing was weird, but like Adam and CT, like CT literally beat his face in. They were Rivals. So, yeah, like we used to have really good rivalries. So, like, I'd like to see that again. I just don't have a lot of faith in the casting department that the rivalries would even, one, be real, mm-hmm. or two, if they even were real, that like it'd be something that you actually cared about.
There's like a handful of like legit Rivals pairs that like would actually like have like some steam to them, like probably a Nani and Teresa if Teresa ever decided to come back.
The Gonzalez blood feud.
Yeah, because that one runs even deeper than people realize. Like, I'm pretty sure Nani dated or was hooking up with, like, Teresa's brother sometime after, like, X's 2. Like, it's...
Yeah, I've heard that out there. I don't know if it's true, but I'm sure we've both heard it from the same place.
Yeah. I mean, even a recent one, Kellyanne and Sylvia, like, really did not like each other. On the previous All-Stars, like that one, I think they would actually have a tough time getting along. They're just way different people.
I mean, they could do Ayana and Janelle wouldn't agree to it because
that would be,
which is totally like respectable. Like, if you don't want to be put in that situation, you don't have to put yourself through it. But it's like, those are the types of things that like fans would want to see, but instead you would get some like weird manufactured like bullshit that like one time this one person said this one little thing and now they're Rivals.
We need Jemmy to come back and team up with JG, because we're seeing like the nice sort of like JG sort of repairing his image on this season. I want to see what it would look like if you have them sort of paired up on the next one, because that would really...
Yeah, I love seeing Jemmy on the challenge. I mean, just like, you know, she's a similar player to Veronica. They're not there because they're an athlete. They're there to make good TV and have a good time. And actually, before we hopped on here, I was watching a clip on TikTok where Brandon was on the Zach Nichols podcast, and they were like, is Veronica the worst athlete to ever be on the challenge? And they were like, yeah, absolutely. Zach was like, yeah, she's like the worst athlete this side of the Mississippi. And I'm just watching, I'm like, Veronica's never claimed to be an athlete.
Yeah.
Like, never once has she said she's an athlete. And they're like, the last time she probably ran was last All-Star season. So what? She's got a life outside of these shows. She doesn't have to train to get a call back. Like, she knows what she's going for. Mm-hmm. She's not getting calls because she's a CrossFit queen like Emily Schramm. She's getting calls because the old school fans like to watch her, and she's entertaining as hell.
Yeah. Well, this was a ton of fun. I didn't expect to have a recap ever be this fun, and we knocked out a lot of interesting points, not only with the episode, but just as sort of encapsulating where the franchise sits as a whole. So I'm hoping that for those that tuned into this, they enjoy this, and maybe we ought to do this again in the future.
Yeah, I had a good time. This is my first time ever on a podcast. I usually just
face reveal
Twitter, but you know, yeah, face reveal. Even though I like when I posted on Instagram last night, people were like, "Oh my God, you're going to reveal yourself!" I'm like, I haven't kept it a secret of like who I am.
Yeah, you've been pretty forthcoming with it.
When I do like, you know, the ask me anythings, and people are like, "Who are you? Is this Marie?" I'm like, no, like, here's a picture of me, here's Twitter, here's my regular Instagram, like, this isn't a big secret.
How funny would it be if you just had your camera off the entire time and used, like, a Marie voice modulator?
Yeah, I know. When I first started the Wendy Challenge thing, everyone was like, it's Marie. It's got to be Marie. She's the only person that's funny enough to come up with all of this. And I'm like, I guess I took it as a compliment that people think I'm funny like Marie. But yeah, it was never Marie. Marie had no part in it. I love Marie. I wish she would come back. Yeah. She's thriving, you know, being a mom now. So we're probably not going to see her. But, you know, Marie was never involved here.
Yeah, she had nothing to do with this. Well, all right. I'll let you go now. Appreciate you hopping on here again. We'll do this again in the future.
All right. Good talking to you.
Peace.